Jesus, and those that are coming into the room and from all over the world, greetings in the Lord. I trust that you can hear me all. If we could have some indication that sound is okay. Yes, thank you, Daphne. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, before we get into God's word, let's commit our time into his presence. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for Jesus, thank you, Lord, that you first loved us, and you are revealing your love to us, and joining us together in true unity and oneness that can only be found in you. And Father, tonight we thank you for the blood of Jesus over all of us, over the connection and over this room, Father. And we thank you, Lord, that the Holy Spirit will now minister and speak to our minds and heart and spirit. For Lord, we know that we cannot receive these things by the mere letter or in the intellect alone. We have to be touched and inspired by you and led by you. And so, Lord, we thank you tonight for this meeting. Thank you for laying it on our hearts, Lord, to come into this room and to hear your word. And we commit it into your hands now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, tonight I'd like to share with you on a subject. The Lord is giving you revelation and understanding. The Lord will give you revelation and understanding, and he will give it to those who desire it, those who want it, those who are hungry for it, and those who pay the price for it. For God has said that if you seek me with all your heart, and that is it, God first loves us, he has to seek us out, we don't seek him, it's not even within us to seek him out. But with that, he also expects a response of faith from us. And as we respond in faith and obedience to him, so he opens our ears and eyes and heart and reveals to us the things of heaven that the world cannot reveal. And I want us to look at some scriptures first to bring us into this. Something that we know very well in the Word of God. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And as we know, the Apostle Paul wrote several letters, in fact three, to the Corinthian church, but two we have in the Bible. And Corinth was, of course, a place of it was a place for universities, for learning, for the intellectuals, and they prided themselves in this. And we read of where the apostle, the great apostle, who was blessed with a great mind, and he comes to this Christian church boasting in only one thing and that is the cross of Jesus Christ. And if there's anything that God will let the Christian boast about, there's only one thing he will let the Christian do, and that is to boast in the cross. And we'll take it up. Let's read verse 16 of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 16, which says here, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent." And so we clearly see here, don't we, that our understanding of God is by grace and mercy. It is nothing we've deserved. It is nothing we've worked for. It's nothing to do about our education, what school we went to, or how intelligent we are. It is a working by grace. And that is 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 and 19 that I've just read. And so our boasting is in the cross of Jesus Christ. Why the cross? Well, the whole message, the gospel, is about the cross that Christ went to, which was foolish in the eyes of the world. But it is also the cross that we too take up and follow daily and follow Christ. I will enlighten on this a bit more as we go on. He then carries on, and we take it up in verse 26 of the same chapter, for where he says, "For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty." And it goes on. So there we see how God works. Why does God work in this way? Well, because one thing that comes to mind, he's not going to allow his precious Holy Spirit, his word, to be defamed. He's not going to let his word become sensual, become like man's mind and thinking. As I said on Sunday, that faith is a higher knowledge. It's a higher understanding than man's knowledge. And thinking is limited. It's only to this world. But the revelation that God gives us through faith pertains to the kingdom. And that's why we preach the kingdom. That's why we look to the kingdom. Another kingdom, God's kingdom that will come. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, as he teaches us in the Lord's Prayer. This kingdom is passing. And all its intellect, all its man-made things, its theories, evolution, devolution, you name it, it's all passing. This is why we are granted and we are being given through the Holy Spirit a greater revelation and understanding of God and his ways. Why is he doing this? Because he's preparing us for his kingdom. He's preparing us for the future. He's beginning to teach us and show us what we're destined for. And yet you've got many professing Christians who want to bring God's word down to a sensual level. To man's level, to man's thinking. And God won't have it. That is why the gospel is only revealed to the humble. Those who desire to know more about him, that is the one who he reveals to. God isn't going to reveal himself to those who think that they know it, to those who think that they are masters in the word of God. Nobody knows anything about the Word of God unless it is revealed by the Spirit. That's how Jesus walked by that principle. He walked every day trusting his Father, knowing that he knew nothing except the Father revealed it to him. And that is how the Christian is to walk. That is how the church in these last days is to walk. And you know, I don't know about you, but I think that that is exciting. What a deliverance from ourselves. What a deliverance where we have got to try and do it. We have got to try and please God. God hasn't saved us so that we try to do it. We try to be good. He saved us so that we yield over and allow the Holy Spirit to do it through us. That's what our rest of faith is all about. Well, the apostle goes on, and if we look into the second chapter of 1 Corinthians, the second chapter of 1 Corinthians, I'd like to take it up from verse 6. And here he speaks about this spiritual wisdom which we are to have. There's a worldly wisdom, and there's also a spiritual wisdom. And in verse 6, he says here, "However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of this age, who are coming to nothing, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory." So this mystery that we're speaking tonight, which is a mystery, Paul says here, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. And this mystery, he says, has been hidden and ordained before the ages for our glory. So this mystery, this gospel, which has been hidden, is for our glory. That we are glorified by this. That we are raised up by this. That we are taught by this. The very power that raised Christ from the dead is the power that's raising us up. So through our glory being glorified, we glorify him. This is why we make so much about teaching about the word and being taught by the Spirit, because it's for our glory, as he says, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they would have not have crucified the Lord of glory, but as it is, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for those who love him. There is the principle. We don't know, but it's all prepared for us in glory, and it's been revealed. This is why I say it's the greatest thing to walk with God. As you yield over to God and let him do it, he will reveal mysteries, he will reveal himself that, we won't have words to express it. And thank God it's that way, because God is revelation. And you can't know God unless he touches our mind and heart and spirit, that is, that we're born again, not of the spirit of this age, but of the spirit of the kingdom of God. And this is what the apostle is coming to these great intellects, the church at Corinth, these Hellenists, who really think they've got their act together, who really think that these universities and colleges, which all started from there, they think that they're going to educate the world and make it a better world through education. And man still thinks that today. And governments still promote that today. Education still promotes it all. But the only way true education that can come is through God teaching us. And that education is going to give us eternal life. The world's education cannot give you eternal life. Or it can fill your heads with a lot of fact and make you smart and feel very proud. But the way God teaches us, it humbles us. It reduces us to nothing. When God begins to teach us and reveal himself to us, O wretched men that we are, who are we? It reduces us to nothing when God reveals himself. For God is revelation, and that is what he wants to do in these last days, as the bride is making herself ready. He wants to reveal himself, and the more God reveals himself, the less we see in ourselves. We just bow our faces to the ground. Who are we in the sight of God? Nothing. When God begins to reveal himself and teach us, we begin to see that what we thought we knew or what we thought was of God is nothing. We've all got it wrong until God reveals himself. We've all got it wrong, even though you've got people who can spend days, hours each day studying the Word of God, unless the Holy Spirit teaches us, it's a waste of time. Because it's so profound. We're dealing with God, brothers and sisters. Who knows God? Who knows his mind? Who knows his... He has no beginning, no end. Where can you start with Almighty God? Well, praise God, we can start through the Lord Jesus Christ. For he came revealing our Heavenly Father. He said to the disciples, when you seek the Father... That is why we worship him in his spirit and in truth. And so he goes on in verse 10. But God has revealed them to us through his spirit. For the spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man, except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. So, brothers and sisters, we don't even know. We think we know man. You know, medical science, anthropology, thinks it knows man and is studying man and the psyche of man. It doesn't know him at all. We don't even know ourselves. We don't even know our hearts, what is in our hearts. But it says the Spirit knows. Why? Because God has made us and created us. And he knows every thought. He knows every desire. He knows more than we even know of ourselves. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful that God knows us? That's why you don't have to run away from him and hide. And yet so many professing Christians run away from our Heavenly Father, who knows us even better than ourselves. And who knows our hearts. Why does it say he knows our hearts? Because he changes our hearts of stone to hearts of flesh. That's why. Only God can change the inner man. Only God can put those wonderful godly affections within us. We're here in this room tonight because we have a desire. But who's put that desire within our hearts? God has. We see people come into this room. Some people came into this room earlier, but they're not with us now. Do you know why? Because the desire is not in their hearts. And that's fearful. But it's in our hearts. And do you know why? Because God put it there. Unless godly affections are in our heart, we'll never trust God, we'll never obey him, we'll never do it his way. That's why I always say, ask him. Ask him to put it in your heart. Ask him to enlarge in your heart. And he'll do it. I thank God that he's doing this. I thank God that he puts it in my heart to be in this room, so that I can learn from him. Because left to my own devices, I would go and seek other things which are just worthless, things of this world. This is why godly affections have to be placed in our hearts, and it's for those who ask it. You see, that is where the true wisdom is in God, and knowledge. It's those who ask. This is why the emphasis in the book of James is, he says, you have not because you ask not. You're asking the wrong things. And so we need to learn from God to ask for godly things. Things that will cause us to grow and mature in faith. And so as we ask him, and we ask him to put these desires within our heart, is God going to turn away and not do that? Well, of course he won't. He will put that within our hearts. He'll put those godly desires within our heart so that we can have a prayer life, because none of us can pray otherwise. We're not, I tell you something, it's not in us to pray. There's too much going on in this world. But if we ask God to put it in our hearts, to help us to pray and to seek his face, well then he's going to do it. He'll move heaven and earth to help you, to put it in your heart. If you want to learn the Word of God, if you want to learn like tonight, then the only way we can do that is to ask God to put it in our hearts, to enlarge in our hearts, to keep us with it, because human nature will not do it otherwise. And so many Christians themselves are Christians, but they don't have the godly affections of seeking God. That is the problem. And the reason is because they don't ask Him. It is for the asking. And that's why we ask by faith. And when we ask by faith, then God will begin to reveal Himself. We don't know otherwise. You cannot get to God through your intellect, through your tradition, through your mind. God has to reveal Himself. He came down to man in Jesus Christ. That is the only religion where God came down to man. All other religions are trying to strive to get to God and trying to be good. You can't. Nobody can be good for God. God had to provide through Christ to deal with our sin, our rebellion. And it's those who call upon Him for His mercy and His grace, He will cover our sin and cast it away as far as the east is to the west. That's what He's promised. No man can save himself. It is a gift of God. But our minds and eyes and hearts have to be open, because we worship God in spirit and in truth, as the Word of God says. That is why Christianity, the gospel, is foolishness to most. They can't understand. That spirit put Christ to the cross. But there was the wisdom and mind of God raising Him up from the dead. Christianity is the only religion that has raised someone from the dead to give man a new life. It was God in Christ reconciling the world, bringing us back through the blood that He shed at Calvary. No other religion can appeal to that. And that's why Christianity is so persecuted today in the world and put down. But praise God, the hour and the day is coming when Jesus Christ will come to rule and reign on the earth, and all eyes will see. And they will bow their knee and acknowledge that He is the true King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But why wait for that day, when that day is judgment, when now the free gift in Christ is being offered to all of us, to those that want Him? For He can only change these hearts of stone to hearts of flesh. He can only put His love in us, to love the unlovable, to love our enemies, to go that extra mile. And if it were, even to lay our lives down for our brothers or sisters. Only God can put those affections and anointing within us. Hallelujah. And this is what the Apostle Paul is saying to these Corinthians. He's coming with one message, and that is about the cross of Jesus Christ. Because the cross covers the whole lot. The cross is foolishness to the world. It is a foolish message to the wise, to the arrogant, to the proud. And yet to the humble, it is the best message that can be heard. Because in the cross of Christ, through His death and resurrection, we now have that new life, that new hope, and He's now come back to us by His Spirit. That is the Holy Spirit. No other religion has the Holy Spirit that comes to them to give them life, to teach them, to guide them into all truth. All other religions are trying to get to their God, trying to be good, trying to be devout, and never succeed. That is why God is not religious. Man is religious, the devil is religious, and demands worship. God never came establishing religion through Jesus Christ. He came to establish His kingdom, which was rejected by His people. Religion never saves. things. Hallelujah. But some will hear and some won't hear. This is why even this teaching tonight, brothers and sisters, is like the analogy that I often give. Two men walking along a railway line, and a train is coming, and a voice speaks out, "Get off the line, a train is coming." And one hears it, and the other doesn't. And that's what it is. So if you hear tonight, then you are blessed, because God has enabled you to hear. God has opened your ears and eyes and heart. That's why we give him all the praise and all the glory, so that nobody can boast in their salvation. Our salvation tonight, brothers and sisters, is because God first loved us. And that's the revelation. And that's why we bow our knees. That's why we yield over to him and allow the Holy Spirit to do it in and through us. And this is why it is a revelation. And this is why the apostle says here, as we're reading, "For what man knows the things of man except the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the spirit of God." There you are, nobody knows except the spirit of God, and he reveals it to us. "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us in God." That's why he's given us his spirit, so that we might freely know what has been given to us through Jesus Christ. Do you want to know that tonight, brothers and sisters? Do you want to know what has freely been given to us? Well, he says you won't find it through religion. You won't find it trying to be good. You find it as you bow the knee, as you confess, and as you ask him to open your ears, your eyes, your heart. Then he will reveal to us his grace and mercy. And he goes on in verse 13. "These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." You know, I so often hear people say, "Oh well, that's his interpretation," when reading the Bible. Well, brothers and sisters, there is only one interpretation of the Bible, and that is the Holy Spirit's teaching. And he will never go contrary to his word, because the Holy Spirit was the one inspired, who moved over holy men and anointed them to write out, to breathe out this word, the word of God. That's where we get this understanding that they were moved by the Spirit to write. God took them over in that sense. This is why God's word is a revelation, but he chose to use man in which to reveal his word. Why? That's God's wisdom. I don't know. He could have done it in so many, many ways. And so there is only one interpretation, brothers and sisters, and that is the Holy Spirit's interpretation. And that is why the word of God says that my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. God's sheep will always hear and know God's voice, because they have received the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, that witnesses to their spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. And that's what the apostle is saying here to the Corinthian church. He says, "These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but what which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." So there again he emphasizes, you can't know. You can't know this word, you can't know this spiritual wisdom, unless it's given. Man will try and teach it to you. Education will try and teach it to you. Universities, colleges, schools will try and teach this to you. But it's the wisdom of the world. It's not the wisdom of God. And there is the fundamental difference. And this is what Paul came to the Corinthian church, not speaking their wisdom, which they prided themselves in, but the wisdom of God, which is the cross, which is foolishness to the world. Man's wisdom can never understand the cross of Christ and the cross which we are to take up. But God's people will understand it. God's people will understand why Christ went to the cross. The Father's purpose in reconciling, bringing back a rebellious, sinful through Christ. They will understand that, but the world doesn't. And so this is how God enlightens us. This is how he teaches us. He gives us not the wisdom of this world, but the wisdom that can only come, the knowledge that can only come through the Holy Spirit. And that is why you've got to be born again, filled with the Spirit of God, your minds renewed, made new by the Spirit, to receive the things of the Spirit. And that is where faith comes. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God, Romans 10:17 tells us. But you can't have that faith if you're applying just a worldly wisdom, a worldly understanding and thinking. You can't release faith on that. You can only release faith to believe the Word of God and the promises of God if your mind is being renewed by the Holy Spirit. That's why we're here tonight. That's why we're in this room. So that God can renew our minds, work on our minds, so that we can begin to experience the mind of Christ, which we're to have, which we can discern spiritual things and that which are not spiritual. You can only, as I keep saying, read the Word of God if you have another spirit, the Spirit of God. You won't understand the Word of God otherwise. It's just a dead letter. And this is what the Apostle Paul is coming to the Corinthian church with. And he carries on with this. Let's read some more of it. And he says, "But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." There you are. Now that is confession. That is a belief. You may say to yourself tonight, "Well, I don't think I've got the mind of Christ, you know. Come on." Well, it starts by believing. It starts by asking. It starts by seeking God. "Lord, give me your mind. Renew my mind. Teach me, guide me, teach me your word, teach me your ways." And if you really want that in your heart, then God is going to do it. And he'll put those godly affections within your heart in order for you to receive that. Because otherwise, you'll go off, you'll do other things, because the affection's not in your heart. This is why I say, to walk with God, to be a committed, born-again Christian, a disciple, that affection has to be there. But only God can even put that there. You can't put it there. It works. Doesn't matter how regular you go to church, or how regular you go to prayer meetings, or how good you are. Only God can put those godly affections within our heart. And the reason we don't have them is because we don't ask for them. We ask amiss. We're asking for all the wrong things. And that's why we don't grow. We don't mature. God wants sons now in these last days. There's too many babies in the house of God that refuse to grow up. God's given us a sonship, but not all are moving and experiencing and entering into that sonship. This was God's purpose and plan in saving the children of Israel, a nation, Israel. He wanted them to become sons, to teach the world the ways of God. But they refused it. They rebelled. Every time God required a step of faith from them, they rebelled against it. And in the end, God gave them up and they perished in the wilderness. Israel's history is a warning to the Christian church. And sadly, a lot are making that same mistake. Instead of seeing that our trials are a way of making it into the kingdom of God. You start walking by faith. You start asking God to be taught by His Spirit and to walk by the Spirit. You're going to find there's trials attached to it. And so, you know, we need to consider these things. But God is faithful. He will bring us through. Because many times our trials confirm our faith. When we come through our trials out the other end, that shows us we're in faith. We held on. We believe God's promises that He will not forsake us nor leave us. Nothing will pluck us out the hand of God. But friends, that first has to become a revelation to you. You've got to be taught that. You've got to be shown that by God. You can't learn that by going to college. It comes out of experience. It comes out of our trials and our testings. That's how the Word of God becomes real. That's how God becomes real in your life. Somebody this evening, who's I don't believe in the room now, was asking about God's love. And it was a bit of a trickery question that was coming there. But the point was, sadly, they didn't know that love they were talking about. Because this love is to be experienced. God is to be experienced. And you can experience God. God touches you. There's nothing like God's touch in our lives that changes us. And He has ways in which He can touch us like nobody else can. Not even the closest person in your life, the closest lover that you may have, cannot touch you the same as God can touch us. Because He knows us better than we know ourselves. I just read it to you. Who knows the spirit of man? Man may think in his medical studies he knows man, but he doesn't. Only God knows us, because He made and created us in His image. He breathed His life into us, and we became a living being. We're in His likeness. So only He knows us. God knows what pleases you. God knows those things that give you a buzz. God knows how to put a smile on your face. God knows how to bless you with things. God knows how to put that joy within your heart. God wants you to experience His joy. God wants you to experience when you please His heart. There's nothing like pleasing our Father's heart. There's just a warmth there. There's a glow there. You don't have to run to scriptures when you know you pleased your Father's heart. It's just there, quickening you. These are the things about walking with God in a relationship and a covenant with Him. God's called us to be real with Him and not to run away and hide like so many do. As I've said so often, if you sin, you've fallen short, and we do, don't run away. Just make yourself run closer to Him. Confess it. Get it off your chest. Do it quickly. Because that keeps us in the presence of Almighty God. Because we all know what it's like when we run away from God. We begin to battle depression, a lack of joy, peace. We start to compromise, or we start to feel grumpy with people or angry with God. These are all symptoms, signs of running away from His presence. Let's defy that, because that's exactly what the devil wants us to do. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We've all sinned. But thank God He's provided through Christ, through the blood of Jesus. And run to His presence. Turn away, confess it immediately, get back in God's presence. And yes, He knows how to deal with us. He knows how to work Innes both to will and do for his good pleasure. But the point is, we must keep close accounts. And so there we are, brothers and sisters. This is how God is dealing with us now in these last days. This is what he's doing through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Spirit. The baptism of the Spirit is to take us now into the deeper life. The baptism of the Spirit is not just speaking in tongues, it's a lot more than that. It's being anointed and quickened. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is to work holiness within us, to bring us into an experience with God, to walk with him in covenant, in faith and obedience. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is to bring us into a total walk of faith. Can't do it otherwise. The baptism of the Spirit is an empowerment of the Spirit. It's that Greek word that we know called dunamis. It's the same Greek word, dunamis, the dynamite power that raised Christ from the dead. And what a power that was to defeat death that hung over man before that. And he says that's the very power empowering us to be able to walk a holy life, to be able to overcome sin, to resist temptation. Because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. God has not saved us to fail. He's not invested his love, his blood, his life over us to fail. God never fails. You are not a failure. God has made no mistake over your life or my life. And don't listen to what the devil says. He who has begun that work will complete and finish it. God never leaves a work unfinished. All from the foundation of the world, and you have received his Spirit, and he's speaking to you right now, God is not going to give up on you. Nothing will separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. And all he's ever asked of us is just simply to believe that. Just believe it, like a child does. And then he reveals it to you. All that we receive comes on the basis of simply believing like a child, and then the revelation, the knowledge from heaven, then is granted and given to you. And then it all starts to make sense. When I started approaching God like that, and I wanted that simple childlike faith, and then God started to speak to me, I said to myself, where on earth have I been all these years? It was there, ready for me. All I had to do was ask. And yet the devil did everything to try and stop me from asking with that simple childlike faith. That's what he wants. Why is it a simple childlike faith? Because we don't know anything where God is concerned. Simply because you've read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, it doesn't mean you know anything. Unless God opens your eyes to understand it. And that's what he will do through Christ Jesus. And that is why the gospel, brothers and sisters, is such a good message. That's why we get excited about it. We proclaim it. We share it like what we're doing tonight. Because it's for the asking. But how many do? That is the question. How many do? Well, God has got a remnant. You say to me, how do I know he's got a remnant? Well, we're looking at them tonight. Here we are. They're in the room. We're in the room because God's given us ears and heart to hear. Hallelujah. That is correct. Knock and the door will be opened. He has promised. God isn't deaf. You don't have to pound that door all the time. God is waiting. All too pleased, all too ready to open that door to reveal the kingdom of God and all the blessings that are entailed there. Hallelujah. That's why all the promises of God that are in Christ Jesus, we can start receiving now even in this life. We don't have to wait for everything when we get over the other side. We can start to move into our inheritance even now in this life. That is why we pray the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're praying it now, so that God begins to reveal himself. That is why I say the only message the Christian has is the kingdom of God. And yet most messages you hear today is their denomination or someone's ministry. No, the only message we have is God's kingdom, which he wants to reveal to us that we share with a dying world. The dying world isn't interested in man's ministry. The dying world isn't interested in denominations. A dying world is only interested in the kingdom of God and what pertains to it. That is the message that Jesus came proclaiming. And we don't know that message unless it's revealed to us. Unless God reveals the kingdom and shows it to us. We don't know otherwise. But he will, if we ask. That is why I keep saying, as I bring this to a close now, that our teaching is by revelation. And God will allow to interpret, to understand that revelation. And that revelation will always line up with the Word of God, which is a revelation to us. The living Word made alive, the Logos. That's why we don't know it unless God touches our minds and our hearts. And this is what the Apostle Paul came proclaiming to the Corinthian church, who thought they got it all. They thought they knew it all with their intellect, with that Hellenistic spirit. That Hellenism of today is just as strong as powerful. And that's why this gospel is foolishness to them. But to the humble, to the meek, to the lowly, to those who've received Christ, who bowed the knee and become new creation in Christ, it's become good news. And that's why we can boast in the cross of Jesus Christ, because it is a good message. Hallelujah. Well, brothers and sisters, that's what I believe God has laid on my heart tonight. I'm sorry that our brother Danny couldn't be with us, but he rang me this afternoon to say from India that they are having it again, and some of the power cables have come down, which means that he can't get online, computer that is, to share the word. So he said, would you do it tonight? So I said, well, yes, praise God, that'll be a privilege, and I'll seek the Lord as to what he would have me share. And that's what I believe he wanted me to share with you. I trust you have been blessed. I know I have. And it is wonderful to walk with God this way. It's wonderful to know that each day God will speak to us. He will lead us and guide us if we want it. And that is the way we walk, because God wants a people who walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. You will never receive, you will never understand from God if you keep walking in the flesh. But if you start to walk in the Spirit, you will begin to understand the things of the Spirit. And that is why we teach the deeper life in the Spirit, because in the Spirit you can go as deep and as far as you want with God. You will never outwalk it, because there's no beginning and no end in the realm of the Spirit of God. Why? Because God had created that realm. And that is what we're destined for. We're destined for the kingdom of God, where there's no beginning and no end. That's why we're just passing through, brothers and sisters, sojourners, passing through. Your life, your future is not in this world. Your future, your life is above. Seek that kingdom. Know where you are seated now already in Christ, in heavenly places. Stop believing this world. Stop believing the politicians. Stop believing all those reports. Stop believing what they're saying or saying over you. Stop listening to the reports over your finances or your physical well-being or what man is saying. Listen to God's report. Read his word. Listen to what he says over you. And I tell you, you begin to walk and move in that. Amen? Hallelujah. Father, tonight again, we thank you for our assembling together. We thank you, Lord, for bringing us from near and far, brothers and sisters from around the world, to come and share and to hear your word. Father, I pray our lives will have changed for your glory tonight. Work those godly affections within us, Lord, what we've heard. We're a hungry people, and you're making us more and more desperate. Father, we want to rise above these things. Rise above these things that try to bring us down, try to get us to lose our peace. Help us to have the mind of Christ. Help us, Lord, show us where we make our minds open, available, to allow your Spirit to change our minds, our thinkings, so that we have that deliverance there. Put those godly affections within our heart for prayer, for fellowship, being with you, walking with you. Change these hearts of stone to hearts of flesh, we ask, Father, in Jesus' name.
Till it finds fulfillment in the arms of the sea. So my love for you is lifted by the strong wings of your Spirit, carried to the throne of God, to the one who set me free. And Jesus is the us in his word.